Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, August 19th, 2022. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Aki.
Grace, back and better than ever together for like the third time this week. You are still in the greatest state in the union, Ohio, the heart of it all. How is my home, sweet home?
Y'all, I love Ohio.
Thank you.
I love Ohio. I have not had the famous Buckeyes on this trip. I have had them before, but I want to have them again. And if anybody has suggestions over where I should get them, great. I think one time I went to like the what's the chocolatier? I went there one time and that's where I got the Buckeyes. But otherwise, I've been having everything and I really, really like it. So
it's good.
Love Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland's great. Obviously, I'm partial to Columbus, which is where I'm from. Always have good Buckeyes there because that is where the Ohio State Buckeyes play. But I will say, my sister makes the best Buckeyes in the world. So maybe I'll have to have Katie make you some at some point. She also does them with white chocolate. When I used to eat sugar, she would make them with white chocolate because she knows how much I like white chocolate. So yeah, we'll have to work on that at some point. But anyway, I am glad that you are enjoying your time in Ohio. We're going to talk about the news today, but I wasn't on the show yesterday, but holy freaking merrily we roll along. Like, we knew this was coming. We discussed this. We would discuss it. We knew this casting was happening. But still, Jonathan Groff and Lindsay Mendez, here's the thing. I love Dogfight and even going back to Everyday Rapture, like, love her. But you know where I really became a diehard Lindsay Mendez fan?
Everyday Rapture?
No. It was after Dogfight when she was doing a Broadway.com vlog for Wicked, and I just fell in love with her. She was great.
I wonder if you could see F in that. I'm not even kidding, because F was Bach at the time.
Oh, really?
And Derek Clinton. Yeah, Derek Clinton was.
So they just brought everybody over from Dogfight.
Yes, that was literally what happened. Like, Joe Mantello gave F a call, was like, okay, it's happening. And like, all of them that were in Dogfight went to go do Wicked, and it was such a bit. And I know exactly what Broadway.com vlog you're talking about.
It was great.
Was it Broadway.com Playbill?
Yeah, no, anyways, Broadway.com.
It was so good. Yeah. Oh, I've missed the days where that would happen. Oh, I wish.
I really only ever watched two, but they led to like nearly decade-long crushes now. One is Lindsay Mendez, and one is Krista Rodriguez from when she did the one for First Date.
Yes.
All right, so I don't want to get into any more of the merrily of it, though, but I do love it. I will be seeing it many, many times. You guys talked about it yesterday, you and Ashley, so we don't need to belabor that point. But we will start off the news with a story that you two also talked about yesterday. Yesterday, it was on social media, and there was actually, the website was up, but they hadn't officially announced it yet. But we do now know, it was confirmed on Thursday, that the Tony-winning revival of Richard Greenberg's Take Me Out will be returning to Broadway on Thursday, October 27th at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater. The show, of course, garnered 4 Tony nominations this past season, including a win for Best Revival of a Play and Best Featured Actor in a Play for Jesse Tyler Ferguson. Ferguson will be returning to the cast, as will fellow Tony nominee and TV star Jesse Williams. The remainder of the cast will be announced at a later date. This previous incarnation of this revival was helmed by Second Stage, and so it was a not-for-profit run. This is now a for-profit run. It is being produced by the Weislers, which means, I don't know, is Jerry Springer is going to play the manager or something now? I don't know. But I'm very happy about this because I was supposed to see this show. The performance I was going to go to was canceled, so I did not get an opportunity to see it. So I'm hopeful that I will be able to see this at some point this fall in one of my 6 or 7 trips to see Merrily and Into the Woods with the various different casts.
Yeah, I mean, I know this is kind of like your jam right now. So if collecting these like trading cards of different casts works for you, I stan. Like, I really do support it.
Did you see the show? Did you see Take Me Out? I know Ashley did, and she liked it.
No.
You did not see it?
I didn't see it. Not for any like, I'm not going to see it. I just, I couldn't really get tickets at the time. And also,
it was a
like,
tough ticket.
It was a tough ticket, and I would have loved to have seen it. I'd love to see it when it comes back, obviously. Yeah. But I am curious about the rest of their casting. So
yeah, it will be interesting because there were a number of other TV related folks in there. Brandon Durden, yeah. I believe, and then the guy from Suits as well. So I don't know if they'll have to recast some or all of the rest of the ensemble cast, but we will obviously bring that news to you when it is released. Now, speaking of shows staying longer than they had previously planned, this is one that I saw and loved, and I'll talk about that more here in a second, but the world premiere of Titanic, the, I guess, parody of Titanic featuring the iconic pop songs of Celine Dion, has been extended at the Asylum Theater off Broadway. The show is now going to run through Sunday, November 6th. I adored this. I don't know a ton of Celine Dion songs. Like, I know the ones you like have no choice but to know because they're everywhere in popular culture. So I didn't go in with like a huge love for Celine Dion music, but this show is so damn funny. It's so good. And actually, yesterday or on Wednesday, I interviewed one of the show's stars, John Riddle, which will be coming up in the podcast feed over the weekend. We talked about the show and just how much fun and ridiculous it is, but very excited that more people get the opportunity to see Titanic. And Grace, I don't know if you've seen this one either, but this is very much your jam if you haven't seen it already.
I haven't seen it. It definitely, like, I was surprised they were doing, I'm not surprised they're doing it at Asylum because that's the old UCB.
I didn't know that.
I thought, yeah, that's where Improv was born, baby.
Yeah.
Not really. Don't close people. Don't come for me. But like that, I assume this is very much like Le Poisson Rouge type of show. And I saw Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang of Les Culturistas posting mm-hmm. about it with their giant fans. And I was like, okay, this is hilarious. So everyone that has gone has had a really great time. I'm glad that they're extending because I'm looking for some more joy in the theater spaces, yeah. You know, like let's all just go out for a party. I want to encourage people to go out to see a show that is not only like performers like John Riddle, Phantom and Frozen's John Riddle.
That's him.
Is starring in Titanic. Yes, he is. So, yeah, I love this. I love this for everybody.
Yeah. And Constantine Roussouli, you mentioned La Poison Rouge. He previously did the parody musical. It started as a parody and became like an official musical version of Cruel Intentions. It's very
I
did too. Oh my God. So did I. And Lauren Zachrin. Love me some Lauren Zachrin.
That's right. We've talked about this. We're obsessed with it.
Yeah. So good. And I love the original Cruel Intentions because Sarah Michelle Gellar is literally one of my foundational five. And if you know what that term is, but anyway, it's very much in that vein, silly, funny, very knowing. There's a little improv section every day where the woman, who I can't remember her name, she played the sister, the young postulant in Sister Act, the musical. I can't think of her name. Anyway, she does an improv. She plays Celine Dion. She does an improv section with which John Riddle confirmed to me in the interview was actually improv. But it was phenomenal. So highly recommend you get over to Asylum to see this if you get the chance. Speaking of things that might be very, very difficult tickets to get, yesterday it was announced that three-time Tony Award winner Patti LuPone will be returning to the basement for 9 performances over 10 days at 54 Below coming up in December. She will be doing a residency to speak from December 20th through the 31st. Tickets will go on sale to Club 54 members on Monday. Yeah, Monday, August 22nd, and then they will go on sale to the general public on August 29th. I am not planning to be in New York around the holidays, the 20th through the 30th, but I mean, at this point, I might as well just make another trip so I can be there.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like you've got to come. Like, I feel like being that close to Patti LuPone is kind of...
It's a little scary.
It just feels insane. Like, it feels like you're not supposed... Like,
you're not supposed to get that close. Like, yeah.
No. And if I'm going to go to Patti LuPone's basement, I want to go to that, her real jukebox basement.
I was going
to
say, yeah, the jukebox.
If I were to see Patti LuPone in Broadway's living room / basement at 54 Below, I would wear Supper Club and I would order my usual, which is that banana old fashioned, don't come for me. And the truffle mac and cheese sans bacon. Again, I'm sorry. I'm very controversial on the pod today. But I have to say, I probably would wear the long sleeve Rosie O'Donnell gray t-shirt that we both own. I purchased it at the Broadway Flea. She probably got it from being a guest. Neither here nor there.
Yeah,
but I would wear that to the show. It's just good. Saying.
I love it. All right. So let's get into a story that I did not think that I would ever talk about on this here podcast. But I guess it happened earlier this week, maybe on Wednesday. But the Actors Equity Association made history as they have accepted the unionization efforts of the Star Garden topless dive bar in North Hollywood, as the dancers employed at that establishment filed a petition for a union recognition election with the National Labor Relations Board running through Actors Equity Association. If the dancers win their election and the results are certified by the NLRB, the Star Garden workers will become the only strippers in the United States represented by a union. This is a first for equity, which, of course, as we all know in the theater, has been a union employing actors and stage managers for over a century. And it is absolutely something that I think is great. It's not something that I would have thought of necessarily. But as Actors Equity Association President Kate Schendel said, strippers are live entertainers. And while some aspects of their job are unique, well said, Kate, they have much in common with our equity members who dance for a living. In my conversations with them, these dancers reported consistent compensation issues, including significant wage theft, along with health and safety risks and violations. They want health insurance and other benefits like workers' compensation. They need protection from sexual harassment. That's something yes, they need help that I can guarantee that. Discrimination and unjust terminations. Equity is well suited to advocate for these workers, and we are excited to welcome them into the labor movement at this extraordinary time. This seems funny at first, and the thought of it, I think when you just read the headline, I can understand why that's funny. But when you actually just like take a second to think about it, like they probably need union representation even more than theatrical actors and stage managers do, who already needed a lot. But I feel like strippers or exotic dancers or whatever they want to be called probably needed even more so.
I mean, yeah, to be frank with you, I don't see any difference between this and any other performance space. I mean, dinner theater is the same thing, just less clothing, which is like I've been on stage in short shorts and a bra top too, so it's like, you know what I mean, like I don't see a difference. I totally agree with all of that. I don't know, it's just never occurred to me how there is such a weird distinction between all these different performance mediums and how arbitrary they are. Like, there shouldn't be a reason, you know what I mean, like it shouldn't be a funny differentiation. It's kind of like, oh, that should have just been there all the time. And I'm just glad that we're being more progressive in the sense that, like, yeah, these people are performers. Let's cover them the way we cover any other performer. Thank God. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really thankful for this. So yeah, take it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
You still have to see Hustlers. You still have to see Hustlers.
I can't believe I haven't seen that movie.
Well, before we were recording, all of you, I was kind of like reading Matt for filth because I could not believe he had not seen J-Lo's Star Turn.
I know.
Once again, not The Wedding Planner. No, I'm talking about Hustlers. And it's just, I mean, Julia Stiles returned to the screen alone.
Oh, I didn't even know she was
alone. Hustlers needs to be a musical. This is why I'm taking pole classes right now, so that I can be in Hustlers the musical with Lizzo. It's on the horizon.
I didn't know you were doing that. So
core strength.
Right, yeah. Of course. Yeah, I mean, Eva Noble-Zada, big poll proponent, and Lauren Zakarin, who we talked about earlier, also a poll proponent.
See?
So who would play the J-Lo part in the Hustlers musical?
Oh, hands down, Ari DeBose. Is she old enough? No.
Yeah, isn't she have to be like 50?
I don't think she has to be 50, because I don't know that J-Lo is playing 50 in that film.
Okay.
But and perhaps, you know what? Look at me trying to, you know, not let an older actor or an actor of that correct age. It's not right of me. I should spend more time thinking about that, because there are dancers out there, especially on Broadway, that have been kicking their face for 30 plus years. And I'm just, they're not coming to my mind, and I need to get better about that. So let me have a think on that, because that would be cool. Don't you think? What do you think?
How about KO?
I mean, KO can and should.
They'd have to unretire again, though.
They'd have to unretire, but I will say there was a press release where they were doing a reading of a new show very recently. So
yeah, I remember.
I mean, they're back.
I think that was like a staged reading, like a one night only staged reading, though. I don't think it was a developmental reading.
It has to count for something.
It does. I mean, they can go back to Madison and do art whenever they want, and they can come back to theater, and theater will welcome them back whenever.
Exactly. And maybe it's with Hustlers the Musical.
Let's hopefully make it, you know, manifest that into fruition. All right, let's talk about another movie that is going from the screen to the stage, or at least I think it is. I'd almost forgotten this thing existed.
And that is the musical adaptation of the phenomenal 2016 indie film Sing Street, which was written by John Carney. In the stage adaptation, the book is by Tony Winner and Endo Walsh and has music and lyrics by Gary Clark and John Carney. Rebecca Taishman is directing the show and returning to Huntington, where she also did a production of her Broadway show Indecent. Tony Winner, Sonia Taya is choreographing the show. Speaking of working with KO as well, and I'd really forgotten about this. I adored the musical. I thought it was really a fun movie. I don't know how it translates. They went with a very stripped back performance when it was off Broadway. I know I didn't get a chance to see it, which I don't think serves the material very well, but they've had like 3 years at this point to refine it. So I'm hoping that this goes really well for them in Boston and this can actually make it to Broadway because the source material is really, really fun.
Yeah. I mean, like, I really love the source material. I loved the movie when it came out. So when it got stalled and then there was COVID stuff, like it really broke my heart because they had been working so hard. I mean, I literally have now it's like a relic, a poster from Broadway Con right before the shutdown of the Sing Street promotional stuff.
Yeah.
And I just kind of held on to it because I was just like, oh, cool. I can't wait for that show. And yeah, like it's been beaten around and they've had to change cast because the young people were not young anymore.
Yeah, they grew up.
And goodness, I can't wait to see it. So I'm glad that we've got some more news on the horizon for them.
Yeah. So the recommendation is we have rehearsal footage. So we will have that in the show notes if you want to check that out. All right, everybody, that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BWW Matt. Grace, where can people find you?
You can find me on all social media platforms at It's Grace Otke.
And apparently some other types of platforms as well, too.
Matt Timonini, I famously, as a Miss North Georgia Agricultural Fair Queen, I own many a platform shoe. And you know that I ran in the very first, I think it was like Run for Breast Cancer Awareness in Chattanooga, Tennessee, sponsored by BMW, high-heeled mile run. And I don't know if I placed, but I definitely ran and I did not hurt myself. And that was a decade ago. So I love a heel. Those are many platforms.
The whole, like, everybody had to wear heels, like that was part of the gimmick of the race?
Yes, everyone had to wear high heels. Because, you know, I'm 4'10 and a half. I've been wearing heels my entire life. Because I think I have to be over 5 foot, but just the air smells different up there.
It does. It definitely does. I can see that. All right, everybody, don't forget that on Saturday, I have an interview with Titanic and Phantom of the Opera, because he is going back to Phantom of the Opera, star John Riddle. And then on Sunday, we will have This Week on Broadway with Peter, James, and Michael. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and we'll be back to talk to you on Monday.